Today on Real Radio.
And so Pilate says, I find no fault with him. Another portion of scripture we read that he washes his hands, but he couldn't wash his heart. Isn't it interesting that 2 years later, Pilate committed suicide in Gaul? I wonder why. He may wash his hands, but he could never wash his heart. And so now Jesus enters in to the path of the cross.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his study series through the Gospel of John. We'll be looking at the first 6 verses of chapter 19 as our teacher continues in his sub-series called The Way of the Cross. And the reason we're spending so much time on this topic is because what took place on the Roman cross on that day is not only historically pivotal, but because it was God's way of buying back his people. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
The Bible says that it's not lawful for us, or it wasn't lawful for Paul, to speak about the things he saw in heaven. That's how great it is there. That's where we're going. All because of what Jesus did for us. He was mocked and made fun of. They put a purple robe on him, probably Herod's purple robe. We learned this from another account. And they said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they struck him with their hands. How unfair is that? How brutal. "Hail, King of the Jews." They're making fun of him. And they beat him. By the way, the word in the Greek, the verb tense is this. It indicates that they often and repeatedly beat him. I have photographs that were not released to the public press, but they were military photos of an incident in Israel of the killing of 2 Israeli soldiers. And when Israel got those men back out of Palestinian hands, I got sick. I couldn't believe that that was a human being. I thought I had a pretty whacked out of imagination until I saw the body of this Israeli soldier. It goes beyond description. And yet the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, Jesus Christ, chapters 52 and 53, would be mutilated, disfigured, it says, marred more than any human being ever. Ever. It's hard to believe, huh? It's hard to imagine. Remember last year when that poor black man was drugged behind that pickup truck in southern United States? For miles they drugged that man behind a truck. What did he look like? Did he have a face left? Did he have any shoulders left? And yet the Bible says worse than that. I physically, at the age of 15, saw a man at 128 miles an hour fall off of a motorcycle. And his rear end hit the ground first. And he was coming towards us. And when his rear end hit the ground first, his whole body spun, but his head didn't spin. And his head came completely off his shoulders and came within 30 feet of my brother and I. And his wife comes running over there. She's crying. The ambulance guys were throwing up. And we're looking at this guy, a headless man, in this meat, in this horror. Or what about you? Have you been to Somalia? Did you fight in Vietnam? What have you seen? The Bible says Jesus was worse than that. What have you seen? Unfair. Unfair. "Hail, King of the Jews." And they struck him. Wait a minute, that's so unfair. But wait a minute, as I meditated upon this unfair, wait a minute, there's nothing fair about redemption at all. Can you imagine? This is, you know, okay, watch this. Fair and unfair. What's fair? This is fair, that we find Osama bin Laden, and it's even just that we find him. It's even biblical. We get him, and we hold him on trial, and then he's condemned to death. That's biblical. I don't care if you like it or not. I don't care what your opinion is. That's biblical. That's fair. You know what unfair is? Unfair would be that Mr. John Ashcroft comes up on the TV and says, "Now listen, I'm asking the United States and all of the other 80 nations who had people killed in that towers to forgive Osama bin Laden now. Just forgive him and let him go. Even if he's going to maybe turn on us in the future, just let him go." That's unfair. That's not right. Well, wait a minute. Has anyone ever hurt your feelings? Raise your hand if you've ever had your feelings hurt. Well, that's funny. Those of you who are lying right now, go ahead and put your hand up then. We've all had our feelings hurt, okay? Yet when someone hurts us, what are we called upon to do? Forgive them. Wait a minute. No, this is fair. You hurt me, so I never talk to you again. That's fair. You hurt me, so I'm going to hurt you back. That's fair. You hurt me, you pay. That's fair. Isn't it fair? But Christianity is, you hurt me, I have to forgive you. I sin against Jesus Christ, he forgives me. 43 years of sinning I've lived my life. And who pays the price? Jesus. That fact alone causes me to fall on my face and say, my God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The one who has sinned against always pays the price. Wife, the one you who has been sinned against always is asked of God to forgive. Husband, has your wife hurt you? God has called you to forgive her. Well, I've got every reason in the book. I know you do. And so did Jesus. My goodness, can you imagine if he unfurled his book against me? The righteous dies for the guilty. It's exactly what Jesus is living out in this chapter. The innocent for the guilty. It's unfair. Salvation's unfair. Thank God it's unfair. Thank God there's nothing fair about it. If it was fair, God would say, "Okay, Jack, let me see. I'll be your savior and you'll be the one that I'm saving and you want to be fair. Yes, Lord, I'd like you to be fair with me. Okay, you've been a real knucklehead today, Jack, so I'm going to have you do 4,000 push-ups right now and then we'll be fine. Or I'm going to spank you and I'm going to wind up about from here to Mars. And that'd be fair. No, Lord, I want you to be unfair. I don't want fairness. I want mercy, grace, and forgiveness, which flies in the face of fairness. Are you with me on that? Do I need to belabor that? Because we're out of time and I got to keep going. Unfair. Secondly, verses 4-8, the way of the cross was reserved for God alone. Did you know that? For God alone? A good man couldn't die for us. Ladies, why? What are you doing answering that? You're not a lady. A good man couldn't die for us. Because there are no good men. It had to be the God man. God had to die for us because we couldn't find anyone to atone for us. We looked as it were, our souls searched the globe and of time, and we came up empty-handed. There were really good men, and there were great women. Mother Teresa couldn't have died for us. The Pope couldn't have died for us. Billy Graham couldn't die for us. Jack, if you only knew my dad. My dad was the most wonderful. He may have been the most wonderful man that ever lived, but he couldn't die for us. God's pure blood had to die for us on the cross. Do you understand that? It's no sacrificial lamb anymore. It's not earning your points, pedaling your bike, going door to door, or going around that big black box in Mecca and hoping that you'll get saved, and then making your trek to Mecca or Medina with chains and beating yourself for miles as you go, hoping that Allah will forgive you. It doesn't work that way. He doesn't forgive you. When the God of the Bible says, hey, my son went to the cross in your place. The way of the cross was reserved for God alone. And that's important. Quickly, we'll go with this. Verse 4, Pilate then went out again and said to them, behold, I bring him unto you, that you may know that I find no fault with him. Well, then what'd you beat him up for? This means that the sacrifice of God must be inspected. And that's true according to Levitical law. He was perfect. Pilate was saying, he's perfect. There's nothing wrong with him. Look at verses 5 and 6. The sacrifice has to be prepared. Then Jesus came out wearing the crown and thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said to him, behold the man. And it's implied in the Greek that he's trying to stimulate pity, sympathy. Behold the man. Look at him. He's bleeding to death. He's ripped to shreds. He's got a purple mock robe on. He's got a crown of thorns on his head. His face is so disfigured, you can't even tell. He's a human, says Isaiah 53. He doesn't even look human. Behold the man. Therefore, when the chief priest and the officers saw him, can you believe this? They cried out saying, crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate said to them, you take him and crucify him because I find no fault with him. Hello, Pilate, what planet are you on? He's innocent, but kill him. Heck, he's innocent, but I beat him. And you may be sitting here today in your morality and say, well, I would never crucify Jesus. I'm not about ready to accept him, but I wouldn't crucify him. No, but maybe you'll beat him. Well, I would never beat him. Well, then maybe you'll mock him. Maybe you said, hail, King of the Jews. Or maybe you've treated him worse than that. You said, you know, I don't need this. What is this rambling, babbling bozo talking about up there with about Jesus and stuff? I don't need that junk. I got me. Wow. You will see him someday face to face. And according to the book of Zechariah, you will see his scars. And apparently, the Bible teaches us he will have them forever. In fact, his disciples will say, the nation of Israel will say in his second coming, where did you receive these wounds in your hands and in your feet? And he will say, I received these wounds in the house of my friends. The sacrifice must be prepared. I love what Charles Spurgeon says. It. I've been yapping for a half an hour. Spurgeon says it all in a sentence. Spurgeon says, now standing before them, God had become a man, and this is what he looks like. A mess. A bloodied, beaten mess. And so Pilate says, I find no fault with him. Another portion of scripture we read that he washes his hands, but he couldn't wash his heart. Isn't it interesting that 2 years later, Pilate committed suicide in Gaul? I wonder why. He may wash his hands, but he could never wash his heart. And so now Jesus enters in to the path of the cross, the last few final hours. It's amazing to me as we look at this and consider the bitter herbs of this particular Passover. He was betrayed by Judas, whom he loved. He was denied by Peter, whom he cared for. He was deserted by his disciples, whom he protected. He was rejected by his nation that he had accepted. Humiliated by the world that he came to save. Condemned by Pilate face to face. Scourged by Gentiles that he was about to die for. And mocked by his own people, whom he called brothers. The bitter herbs of this Passover. Third point, verses 9 through 12. We're almost done. Third point, verses 9 through 12. The way of the cross divides between all people. The way of the cross divides between all people. Simply this, and we'll move on to the next point. The way of the cross divides. Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 32, he says, if you acknowledge me before people, I will acknowledge you before my Father which is in heaven. If you deny me before people, I will deny you before my Father which is in heaven. Don't think that I have come to bring peace. He says, I did not come to bring peace, but I came to bring a sword, that one of his own household will become his own enemies. A son will become the enemy of his father, the father, the daughter to the daughter-in-law, and on it goes. How does that happen? Just because your daughter's born again, don't think you're going to heaven because she's saved. Just because your dad's going to heaven doesn't think you're going to get there. God's got no grandchildren. Are you born again? Well, my dad is. Well, hooray! But where are you going to be in eternity? Well, my dad gives me everything I need. He can't give you this. Why do things go the way that they do? Why do things happen the way that they do? God in his sovereign, awesome, loving way reaches people right where they're at. You may be here, a parent or a child, and you've been praying. I had a woman last service saying, I'm praying so hard. Jack, I'm excited about the rapture, but I'm excited and saddened at the same time because I have so many friends that will be left behind. And I said, you know what? Praise the Lord for your true faith in the Lord's word. Yes, you should be sad about the potential of them being left behind. However, it can be true today about, you know, somebody that's died. You don't know what happened in their mind the last millisecond, do you? You don't know. That person could have been running down the field and getting ready to score that touchdown in that hot summer day, and his heart begins to freak out and twitter and flip and go nuts, and he falls to the ground. But just before he dies, he just says, oh, Jesus, help me. Oh, Jesus Christ, save me. How do you know what goes on in the mind? Only God knows that. You know anybody in a coma? Take your Bible, go there, and talk to them. I'm telling you, a lot of people have come out of comas and said, I heard every word you said. And that's a fact. He sends a rift between families and people. Some in the family will say yes, some will say no, but decisions will always be made. Pilate went again to the praetorium and said to Jesus, verses 9 and 10, where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. Remember how the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, he will come before his accusers and he'll be silent like a lamb is silent. So Jesus is silent. And he gave him no answer. Verse 10, then Pilate said to him, I'm sorry, this is the way I see it. Pilate says to him, now how do you hear it? Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have the power to crucify you and the power to release you? Is that how you see this guy, Pilate? I don't see him like that. I think he is so messed up. I see him, he looks just like Don Knotts. And he's trying to act tough. You know when people are losing control and power? Don't you understand I got the power? I can release you or crucify you. He's out of control. The guy doesn't know which way is up. I find no fault with him. Beat him. I find no fault with him. Crucify him. I find no fault with him. Aren't you going to answer me? He's a vacillating wimp. He doesn't know what to stand for. And he's supposed to be conducting the Roman Empire in that part of the world. It's pathetic. You know why he's like that? Because he was fearful of what men thought. And you and I will be the same way if we're afraid of what people think. Are you going to get criticized? I get criticized all the time. Thank God for me, I have a very short memory. It's not that I deal with this so well. My wife says, oh man, you want to read this note. This person fries you. Well, the thing is, by tomorrow morning, I forgot what they said. So all is well in the world with me. I'm doing fine. The great thing about Alzheimer's disease is that you meet somebody new every day. And I'm advancing. Fourth and final point, verses 13 to 16, the way of the cross leads us all to the valley of decision. Back again, they go outside, and Pilate yields to the pressure of the people. Verse 13, when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in the palace, or in its place, called the pavement. Some of us have been there. It's amazing, still there. But in Hebrew, Gabbatha. And the fact of the matter is, verse 14 and 16 goes on to teach us that he's caught right in the middle of the will of himself and the will of the people and the plea for God. And it says, now it was the preparation day of the Passover, about the sixth hour of the day. That's Roman time. It was 6 a.m. in the morning, or the first hour of Jewish time. Sixth hour, Roman time, first hour, Jewish time. And he said to the Jews, behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. And Pilate said to them, shall I crucify your king? And the chief priest answered and said, "We have no king but Caesar." Wow. That's an amazing, blasphemous thing to say. Then he, that is Pilate, delivered Jesus to them to be crucified. So, and I have this highlighted, so they took Jesus and led him away. And that is the meaning of our entire message today. The reason why the Holy Spirit, are you guys awake? We're almost done. We're doing good. We'll be out here in 3 minutes. Listen, you guys are a tough group of people. You know that? You're great. The reason why the Holy Spirit says that it was the sixth hour, if we do a little bit of homework, we find out it's the sixth hour of the Roman time clock. It's the first, the Jews divide the day up into 2 days. It's the start of the Jewish day, which made it the day of preparation for the Passover. Little lambs, 284,000 of them, had been lined up and inspected. Then one by one, they were being led away to be killed in Jerusalem that day, that hour. That's why the Holy Spirit gives you the time, and he tells us, so they took Jesus and led him away. Just like a little lamb, they led him away. And as a lamb is silent before its shearers, so he opened not his mouth. Come on, even if he was a 90-pound weakling and just a human, don't you think by now you'd say, enough of this stuff, you beat the snot out of me, I'm done with this game. Me not want to play no more. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, Arnold, and you're all pumped up, and you're a big guy, and you're going to go for it. Humans can't do this. Humans cannot do this. So they led him away. Don't be mistaken. He's as a little lamb in the eyes of God. He's as a criminal in the minds of the people. He looks like a horrible, mutated freak before the people on the streets, a bloodied mess. But the Bible says it pleased the Father to bruise him this way. That when he would see the torment of, or the travail of his soul, my righteous servant will justify many.
Well, we certainly hope that your prayers have changed after hearing this series called The Way of the Cross, a multifaceted subseries as Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, journeys through the Gospel of John. The Way of the Cross, Part 4, is what we heard today. We'll look at John chapter 19 in the first 6 verses. We'll pick up next time with more as we continue to journey through the Gospel of John, but we encourage you, especially if you'd like to hear this study once again, to pay us a visit at www.realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. You'll be able to hear today's broadcast, past broadcasts, and you can also look into becoming a podcast subscriber at absolutely no charge, realradioactive.org. If you'd like to get in touch by telephone, here's our number, area code 909-393-7100. Again, 909-393-7100. Also, remember that you can participate in the mission of Real Radio. Get in touch and find out how you can become a financial partner. This radio broadcast is heard on many outlets throughout the United States and, in fact, the globe. And you can play an important role in seeing to it that that continues. Again, our phone number, area code 909-393-7100. If you'd like to send in a contribution, either one time or become a regular contributor, here's our address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Once again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is made possible by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills and your partnership. And until next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside you shine. Amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.